In this bulletin, Anthony Albanese, Fiji-bound for the Pacific Islands Forum meeting. A U.S. committee investigates links between former President Donald Trump and far-right extremist groups. And in sport, an Australian is out of the Tour de France after testing positive to COVID-19. With the latest SBS News, I'm Assam Al-Ghalib. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is Fiji-bound for the Pacific Islands Forum leaders' meeting. Leaders from 15 nations are gathering to discuss ways to gather more international support and funding to fight the impacts of climate change and security threats in the region. Climate change is a major focus of the forum, despite the shock withdrawal of Kiribati from the group. Almost a quarter of the forum is missing the summit, including Nauru, due to a COVID-19 outbreak, Cook Islands with local upcoming elections, and Marshall Islands due to legal issues. Foreign Minister Penny Wong says the gathering aims to bring unity to the region.
The region is stronger together. It's a simple proposition. The region is stronger together. Leaders talked about the challenges the region faces. Climate change, COVID and the recovery from COVID, both of which have fallen harder on this region than on many other parts of the world. And of course, strategic competition. And all the nations of this region are seeking to navigate. And we do it best when we can do it together. And that's the approach Australia's taken.
New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern is also in attendance with the two key bilateral meetings on Wednesday with Fiji's Frank Bainimarama and Solomon Islands counterpart Manasi Sogavare. Ms. Ardern says Australia and New Zealand were alarmed by Mr. Sogavare signing a security deal with China earlier this year.
In China, we have an example of a development partner who's been around the Pacific for decades, but is certainly increasing their activity and changing the way in which they engage. And we've, from New Zealand's perspective, said that there are elements of that, particularly when it comes to the security arrangements of the region, that concern us.
The United States House Committee probing the 6th of January attack on the Capitol has highlighted the way violent far-right extremists answered Donald Trump's so-called siren call to travel to Washington, as some now face rare sedition charges. The panel investigating the Capitol siege is meeting to examine the final phase of Mr. Trump's effort to halt Joe Biden's election victory. The committee says Mr. Trump tweeted the rally invitation, describing that tweet as a pivotal moment. Florida Representative Stephanie Murphy says Mr. Trump aimed to remain in power and used the crowd as a tool to do so.
In their warped view, this ceremonial event was the next, and perhaps the last, inflection point that could be used to reverse the outcome of the election before Mr. Biden's inauguration. As President Trump put it, the vice president and enough members of Congress simply needed to summon the courage to act. To help them find that courage, the president called for backup. The president's goal was to stay in power for a second term despite losing the election. The assembled crowd was one of the tools to achieve that goal.
The United Nations Security Council has approved an extension of humanitarian aid deliveries to Syria. The aid will continue for another 6 months until January of 2023. Russia had vetoed a new Security Council resolution to enable a further six-month extension. Ireland's UN representative, Geraldine Byrne-Nason, says the draft resolution will make it easier to continue early recovery efforts and promote routine follow-up sessions on implementation.
We recognize that a six-month renewal is shorter than we as penholders aimed for when we started this negotiation. We recognise also that the vast majority of the Council shared that view and the view of humanitarian actors on the ground that a 12-month mandate was needed. What is most important today is that the Council, with this resolution, keeps the cross-border mechanism open and operating, that humanitarian assistance continues to reach those in need.
Healthcare professionals are urging the federal government to end the scheme providing free rapid antigen tests to vulnerable groups as Australians face rising COVID-19 cases through winter. This follows the government's announcement that the COVID-19 Rapid Test Concessional Access Program, which offers 10 free tests each month to concession card members, will not be extended past July of 2022. The New South Wales and ACT representative of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, Charlotte Hespy, says the decision should be reversed to ensure everyone, especially low-income earners, can access the tests.
We are very disappointed. This disadvantages the most vulnerable members of our population to be able to access RAT testing at a time when we are seeing a surge in infection numbers of an infection that is more serious than the previous variant. And we would like to see it as a decision that can be turned around.
Denmark's Magnus Cort Nielsen has won the 10th stage of the Tour de France, defeating Australia's Nick Schultz in a photo finish following an interruption by climate activists. The race was stopped for about 10 minutes after half a dozen climate activists tried to block the riders. They were dragged off the road by police before the race resumed. Australian Nick Schultz says a second place finish is bittersweet.
It was almost perfect, but, you know, we know Magnus Cort, he's one, he was just a better man, and yeah, I'm really happy with second, but to be honest, I'm also really upset. Like, it's not every day you get to try and win a stage of the Tour de France, you know? So I'll keep trying and see where we get to.
Slovenia's twice-defending champion, Tadej Pogačar, retained the overall leader's yellow jersey. Australian Luke Durbridge and New Zealand's George Bennett are out of the race after testing positive for COVID-19. With the latest SBS News, I'm Assam Al-Ghalib.